The 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the need to pray continuously and never lose heart. There was a certain judge in a town, he said, who had neither fear of God nor respect for man. In the same town there was a widow who kept on coming to him and saying, "I want justice from you against my enemy." For a long time he refused, but at last he said to himself, "Maybe I have neither fear of God nor respect for man, but since she keeps pestering me, I must give this widow her just rights, or she will persist in coming and worry me to death." And the Lord said, "You notice what the unjust judge has to say. Now will not God see justice done to his chosen, who cry to him day and night, even when he delays to help them? I promise you, he will see justice done to them, and done speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on earth?"
Jesus has been encouraging a couple who are distressed by their daughter's marriage situation not to stop believing that their prayers for a resolution to the situation will be answered. After the couple has left, Jesus speaks to a crowd of about 100 people who have gathered around him in an enclosure. He says, "Listen to this parable, which will explain to you the value of constant prayer. You know what Deuteronomy says, speaking of judges and magistrates. They should be just and merciful, and listen with impartiality to those who have recourse to them. They should always judge as if the case that they have to judge were a personal one of their own, without taking into account gifts or threats, without being partial to guilty friends, and without being severe with those who are at variance with the judge's friends. But if the words of the law are just, men are not as just. Neither do they obey the law. So we see that human justice is often imperfect, because rare are the judges who know how to keep free from corruption, and rare are those who are merciful and patient, both with the rich and the poor, and with widows and orphans. In a town there was a judge who was very unworthy of his office, which he had obtained through powerful relatives. He was most unfair in judging, and he was always inclined to say that the rich and mighty ones, or those recommended by rich and powerful people, or those who bribed him with rich gifts, were right. He did not fear God, and he ridiculed the complaints of poor and weak people because they were lonely or without strong supporters. When he didn't want to listen to a man who had clear reasons to prevail over some rich person, so much so that he could in no way decide against him, he had him driven away from his presence, threatening to put him to prison. And most people suffered his violence, withdrawing as if they had been defeated, and resigned to defeat, even before the case was debated. But in that town there was also a widow with many children. She was entitled to receive a large sum of money for works done by her dead husband for a rich and mighty man. Urged by a need and by motherly love, she had tried to obtain from the rich man the sum of money which would enable her to feed her children and clothe them in the oncoming winter. But when all her requests and entreaties to the rich man were of no avail, she applied to the judge. The judge was a friend of the rich man, who had said to him, "If you admit that I am right, one third of the money will be yours." So he turned a deaf ear to the words of the widow, who begged him, saying, "Give me justice against my opponent. You know that I am in need. Everybody can tell you that I am entitled to that amount." He didn't listen to her, and he had her expelled by his assistants. The woman went back once, twice, 10 times, in the morning, at the sixth, at the ninth hour, and in the evening, without ever tiring. She would follow him in the streets, shouting, "Do me justice! My children are hungry and cold, and I have no money to buy bread and clothes for them." She waited for him at the door of his house, when he went home to sit at the table with his children. And the cries of the widow, "Give me justice against my opponent, because my children and I are cold and hungry," these words could be heard even inside the house, in the dining room, in the bedroom, during the night. Her cries were insistent. "Do me justice. If you do not want God to strike you, do me justice. Remember that widows and orphans are sacred to God, and woe to those who oppress them. Do me justice if you do not want to suffer one day what we are suffering now. The cold, the hunger we are suffering, you will find them in the next life if you do not do me justice, you mean man." The judge feared neither God nor his neighbour, but he was tired of being continuously molested. He had also become the laughingstock of the whole town because of the widow's persecution and because many people blamed him. So one day he said to himself, "I do not fear God or the threats of the widow or the opinion of the people, yet to put an end to so much trouble, I will listen to the widow and do her justice by compelling the rich man to pay, providing she stops persecuting me and gets out of my way." So he sent for the rich friend and said to him, "My friend, it is impossible for me to satisfy you. Do your duty and pay, because I cannot put up with her any more and being persecuted because of you. That's my decision." And the rich man had to pay the sum according to justice. That is the parable. It is now for you to apply it. Then Jesus says, "You have heard the words of a wicked man who said, 'I will listen to the woman to put an end to so much trouble.' And he was a wicked person. But will God, the very good Father, be inferior to the bad judge? Will he not do justice to those sons of his who invoke him day and night? And will he keep them waiting for the grace so long that their depressed souls stop praying? I assure you, he will do them justice at once, so that their souls may not lose faith. But it is also necessary to know how to pray, without tiring after the first prayers, and asking for good things. And you must also rely on God and say, 'Let that be done, what your wisdom sees is more useful to us.' Have faith, pray, having faith in prayer and faith in God your Father, and he will do you justice against those who oppress you, whether they are men or demons, diseases or other calamities. A persevering prayer opens heaven, and faith saves the soul in whatever way the prayer is heard and answered. Now let us go." And Jesus moves towards the exit. He is almost outside the enclosure when, raising his head to look at the few people following him and at the many indifferent or hostile ones watching him from afar, he exclaims sadly, "But when the Son of Man comes back, will he still find faith on the earth?" And with a sigh, he envelops himself more tightly in his mantle and strides away. Jesus speaks to Maria Valtorta of the so-called learned ones who deny him. Soul of mine, there are few things which I condemn as severely as the element of rationalism, which deflowers and desecrates and kills faith. I will curse nothing as much as I do this. It has been the seed from which many other poisonous doctrines have come. It has been the treacherous element opening the doors to the enemy. It has in fact opened the doors to Satan, who has never reigned so much as since rationalism has reigned. It is said, when the Son of Man comes, he will not find faith in hearts. Rationalism thus does its work. I will do mine. Blessed are those who, as they close the door to sin and the passions, are able to close the doors of the secret temple in the face of the science which negates, and they live alone with the only one who is all until the end.